Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back to talk about this week's Ring of Honor episode 517. Showed up on my PVR on August 14th. And I may even get into talking a little bit about Triple Mania. I'll probably add it on to the end of this podcast because I didn't watch all of it, but I watched enough that I would like to talk about a few things from it. I don't think it necessitates its own episode, so I'll probably throw it on to the end of this one. So if that interests you, just stick around because that'll be here as well. So it's another beautiful day here in Southern Ontario. Spent some time by the pool. Now just finished up some dinner. Thought I'd come back down to the studio to talk about Ring of Honor, as I tend to do on Monday nights lately. So I don't think we need to banter too much. Since it's just me, it's hard to banter by yourself. So let's move into talking about some wrestling and this week's Ring of Honor episode 517. So this show starts with a recap of the, I think, all of the first round matches from the women's tournament that have led up to this point, where we're one match away from having the quarterfinals fully ready to go. So it is Ian Riccaboni back at the desk as Quinn remains in the tournament. So even though she's not involved in a match on this show, she still won't be doing her hosting duty until, I guess, she's knocked out of the tournament or she wins the tournament. So he sets up the matches for the show instead. We're going to get the final first round match. It's being described to us as a battle of the monsters as Holodead takes on Max the Impaler. And in the main event, so it sounds like we're only getting two matches this week, we're going to get the return of a match that they tell us was one of the most chosen on their Facebook page or something like that, something involving social media. So it's the return of Champions versus All-Stars. This will include, on one team, Chris Dickinson, Homicide, Dragon Lee, Jonathan Gresham, and Bandido, facing off against EC3, the Briscoes, Josh Woods, Flip Gordon. So to me, I mean, it kind of on its face feels like a filler match that's to basically maybe pause things for another week for some reason, like just put these guys together and get them to have a match sort of outside of storylines or whatever it feels like. Maybe they're waiting out the women's tournament before they want to move on with anything new and exciting. That being said, I do complain about the Champions not being on ROH TV enough, so I should probably just shut my mouth because I'm basically getting Bandido and a bunch of other champions on this show. So that's kind of what I've been wanting to see, so that's what I'm going to get. So regardless of the format, that's a pretty cool thing, I think. So the first thing we get as the show starts is a Holodead promo. Each competitor gets a little bit of a chance to say something before their match on ROH in general and in this tournament as well. So she talks about all of her accomplishments overseas, quite an impressive international resume, including being part of the first women's main event ever in Italy. But she says here in the U.S., she can't get any respect, but Maria and Ring of Honor respect women's wrestling, and people are about to get in the ring, mess around, and find out, seems to be her catchphrase. She says it again later, mess around and find out. She doesn't know much about Max the Impaler, but she respects that she's a monster too. She's been on a roll lately. Holodead is no pushover, and Max will find that out. Holodead has already died and come back, so there's nothing that Max can do to her. We then switch to what would be Max the Impaler promo, but she has Amy Rose with her, and Amy Rose speaks for Max the Impaler, basically says that Holodead drew a losing ticket by drawing Max in this tournament, and it's only a matter of time before Max wins the ROH Women's Tournament. And then Max is sort of in the background, runs straight towards the camera and yells. I actually like both of these promos, to be honest. Holodead is definitely a unique character, and she has a really distinctive voice. I mean, I think she's maybe putting it on a little bit, but she's got kind of a deep, gravelly voice that I thought was cool. And when she started the promo, she was sort of had like pauses in her speech in awkward places that seemed to sort of disappear as she spoke more. But I thought it was kind of interesting. I think she did a good job of giving people some of her background and her accomplishments in a fairly brief promo. She wasn't given a lot of time, but she kind of squeezed in her history a little bit, which I thought was cool. I think I've only seen her wrestle once on like a random, probably on YouTube or something. I honestly can't remember what I thought of her, but I'm looking forward to seeing her for sure. And when it comes to Max the Impaler, of course, Max didn't actually say anything here. Max has an incredible look. If you listen to this podcast and you don't watch Ring of Honor and I'm sort of filling you in on it, I would recommend going to check out Max the Impaler. Incredible look. I loved that she had someone speak for her here. She says absolutely nothing. It almost felt like old school vibe of like Kamala and things like that, where she kind of has a handler who does all of the speaking for her. I hope that she can wrestle, because I can tell you right now, I really want to like Max the Impaler. She looks amazing. I think she and Abaddon, I don't know if you've seen her in AEW, just a terrifying look as well, that Abaddon and this Max the Impaler seem to have their like post-apocalyptic sort of look nailed. I think she looks fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to this match. And I guess you would have to say these promos did their job, because I knew very little about either of these two. Wasn't really on my radar that this match was coming up. Saw both of these promos and now I'm like, yeah, these two look cool. It's being sold as basically the Battle of the Monsters. And honestly, these promos got me interested in the match. So clearly effective, I would have to say. We do then move into their match. So it's Holodead versus Max the Impaler. So Holodead comes out, full face paint if you haven't seen her, and she's got the phrase "die already" written across her stomach, which I thought was kind of cool. Commentary as she's making her way to the ring, tell us she's a veteran of wrestling, formerly part of a well-known tag team. And then we're also told when Max the Impaler comes out that Max and Amy Rose are a deadly combination, and that Max is basically just a search and destroy sort of character. So that's what's leading up to this match. Another detail I really liked at the beginning of this, the Code of Honor, Ring of Honor, in theory, competitors shake hands before they begin. So Amy Rose even tries to do the Code of Honor handshake for Max the Impaler, which I thought was a pretty funny detail. But Holodead refuses to shake Amy's hand, and Amy Rose eventually leaves the ring. So Caprice tells us this is Godzilla versus King Kong, as these are two larger, powerful women, so it should be an interesting matchup here. Holodead starts out taunting Max, shoving her a few times before they finally lock up, and it takes quite a while. They're sort of going along the ropes and no one gains an advantage. Then there's a brief forearm exchange before Holodead lands a flurry of her own, but Max kind of has enough of that and throws Holodead kind of across the ring. There's two body slams by Max, but Holodead gets right back up and she body slams Max the Impaler back, which commentary were amazed and it was pretty impressive. Clothesline exchange forces Holodead into the ropes. Max follows her and sort of stretches her backwards over the ropes, and Holodead asks if that's all she's got, so Max then just picks her up and sort of runs her back first into the turnbuckles. Holodead fires up then with some short corner spears, backs up to go for a running one, but misses, runs herself into the ring post. There's then followed up by clubbing blows in the corner by Max with some sort of suplex where it's like a vertical suplex grip, but it's sort of like she just sidearm slings her across the ring, which I thought was interesting. You get the wicked stepsister stomp that the way do done by to Holodead, sorry. Holodead then fights out of a fireman's carry, hits a DDT. Holodead runs at Max, but then gets speared. That looked pretty good, actually. Then there's an impressive German suplex by Holodead and a suicide dive as Max sort of escapes to the floor after that German. There's a back in the ring with a big spine buster by Holodead, a backbreaker by Max, who then, I thought this was cool too, because she's been silent in the promos and in the match. You just hear her say, because again, there's no crowd, so the mic picks up a lot. You can hear Max say, "You're dead now." And then she hits her like, I don't know what to call it. She has her backbreaker over the one shoulder, and then she sort of drops to her knees and picks up the victory from this match. And if I'm being honest, I thought this match was pretty awesome, and it was for sure my favorite match of the women's tournament so far. I would even say, just to compare tournaments, this is better than anything I've seen on the NXT Breakout tournament so far as well, that my son and I cover on our Saturday show. That tournament's been largely underwhelming for me, and I thought this particular match between these two monsters, as we were told, was really, really good. I mean, it may not have been a technical masterpiece throughout, but I thought there was some good wrestling combined with some standard monster power offense. Both women played their roles really well. I think Holodead being a veteran here really helped. This match was given a fair bit of time as well, and I think both of them come out of this looking good. I liked all of Holodead's talking. She was talking a lot to Max at the beginning of this match, and then sort of things that got more physical, Holodead had to focus more, which I liked as well. And I really liked Max getting that one line in right before the finish with the "you're dead now." I thought that was a cool touch. Specifically, I would really like to see more of Max the Impaler, and because she won, I guess I will, which is cool. I thought these guys had really good chemistry. I enjoyed this opener for sure. I look forward to seeing either woman again in the future anywhere, because I thought this was really cool. We then get quick graphics on the screen letting us know that Quinn McKay versus Roxy and Miranda Alizé versus Nicole Savoy will be on next week's show, and that our main event is coming up next. So this is, we're only getting two matches this week, as that women's match did get quite a bit of time compared to some that have been in the tournament so far. We then get a Matt Taven video where he's talking about his memories, turning his accomplishments into questions. Happiness has now become a source of anger. This is full of dramatic music and all on top of sort of images of Matt Taven and Vincent. Taven talks about his ego, that basically Vincent accuses him of having an ego, but that his ego is the reason he got there, and Vincent has an ego too. Vincent owes him everything, but instead Vincent just tries to ruin his life and take away everything he's earned. At Glory by Honor in a cage, Vincent will find out why Taven's a Grand Slam champion and has been a success everywhere he's been, which is why Vincent rode his coattails. He will become the ROH World Champion again, and then it's basically this dramatic, he's got quite a beard right now, I guess, his pandemic beard, and he's got clippers, and it's very, I guess, symbolic of something, that he is clipping off this beard, and we're watching it fall to the floor as the music continues to play out the segment. So Taven, I don't think, did a bad job of delivering this promo, but honestly, I mean, if you've listened to me talk about ROH before, this program with Vincent, honestly, I think it's been going on since I started covering Ring of Honor a year ago, over a year ago just now. So that this has been ongoing. I have never really cared that much the entire time, partly because, as I've said probably too many times, if you listen, I struggle with Matt Taven as a babyface. And I fail to see the depth of this feud somewhere, maybe because I wasn't watching ROH before the sort of reboot around the pandemic. So I wasn't up on the whole Vincent and they were in a faction together, right? So I'm kind of missing that piece. So maybe it's my own fault. So, but when ROH comes with something this serious and this dramatic within this feud that I haven't really cared about for basically a year, then I have a lot of trouble getting into this promo as well. I don't really care what their issues are. I'm not really excited for the match, but I guess the silver lining is sometimes when your expectations are low, right, it allows for a match to sort of over-deliver for you, and it is a cage match, so in theory it should be pretty crazy. I'm not saying Taven's not good in the ring. I think he's pretty good, but it's just his character as a babyface does not do anything for me. So again, I didn't enjoy this segment, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad segment. We then get to the main event, which is called Champions versus All-Stars. So Chris Dickinson, Homicide, Dragon Lee, Jonathan Gresham, and Bandido facing off against EC3, both of the Briscoes, Josh Woods and Flip Gordon. So commentary tell us this is five champions versus five All-Stars, which I think begs the questions. Who picks these All-Stars, first of all? There must have been some sort of process and criteria for it, which I'd be interested in knowing. And then I thought, like, how do other people on the roster feel about these selections? And I feel like that's an opportunity for some little storylines or start to develop issues between people. It almost feels like a missed opportunity for me. Because you could, if you're going to have this, we selected All-Stars. Well, somebody had to select them and somebody probably feels left out. And I think there's opportunities to tell stories there. But anyways, so the entrances for this match took forever. I'm thinking it had to be pushing 10 minutes, seriously, because it literally, on the station I watch it, included two commercial breaks to get through all of the introductions. So I thought that was a bit lengthy. I will say that these teams being made put some interesting combinations, because you've got people that don't generally work together or have issues with each other kind of on the same team. So that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle, I guess. So the match starts. It's Josh Woods and Jonathan Gresham, so obviously we're getting pure wrestling right out of the gate with lots of mat work. Goes on for quite a while, and as that's going on, because it's not my favorite type of wrestling, especially when it goes on for a really long time, I noticed other things. So I finally noticed, it took me a while, only three of the guys on each team are on the apron. So one member of each team is standing on the floor, and I was confused. I didn't know if that meant something or if they'd changed who was in the match, because I didn't hear anything about it. If they did say something, I missed it. But just to note, Flip Gordon and Dragon Lee start out on the floor for their respective teams. I imagine it might just be to make more room and to avoid blocking the camera and stuff like that. So Dickinson then tags in, and now he and Josh Woods are involved in some grappling. Woods almost tags EC3, but then intentionally sort of pulls his hand back and tags Mark Briscoe instead. Dickinson tags in Dragon Lee. So those two are in the action. Sort of the pace picks up considerably. Some ring running and a huge jumping forearm by Mark Briscoe takes out Dragon Lee. Rana by Dragon Lee, but EC3 gets in there at some point. There's a lot going on, so sorry. This is not move for move. There'll be some gaps in my note-taking. But EC3 hits a neck breaker as Flip blindly tags EC3 from behind and tells him to get out. So there's this ongoing sort of feud boiling over here or bubbling under, I guess. I don't know. We get a kick and a standing moonsault by Flip for two. Dragon Lee with a series of kicks ending with an outside-in kick to Flip's face as Flip is sort of sitting in the corner that looked pretty good. Homicide at one point throws Woods out of the ring, spits on the Briscoes, and then we get our first sort of breakdown where people kind of pair off and there's lots of brawling all over the place. Then there's multiple standing switches before a DDT by Gresham as he and Woods ended up back in the ring sort of grappling. The Briscoes are double-teaming Gresham a bit later, and they chop him in the throat, as commentary tells us. Another blind tag by Flip Gordon to EC3. You can see that EC3 is not impressed by this. And then right after that, there's a miscommunication that leads to EC3 spearing Flip Gordon, so you can kind of see that building even further. Bandido finally gets in. He hadn't appeared in the match for quite a while. He dominates Flip Gordon briefly, hits a tornado before things break down again and there's more brawling. A little bit later, Dragon Lee and Bandido hits stereo suicide dives to two of the guys on the floor. Then we get that, I don't know if it's quite signature moves, but big move parade where everybody hits a move and then gets hit by a move from somebody else. That leaves Flip standing alone before Homicide joins him, hits a big Uranagi for two and a belly-to-belly overhead for another near fall. The 187 is attempted by Homicide, but Flip Gordon fights it off, lands a super kick, hits the Flip 5, which is kind of like a TKO of some kind, I guess, for a near fall. And then an Orndorff-style pile driver, even commentary refers to it as such, to Homicide. And Flip Gordon picks up the win for his team as the Briscoes continue to beat down Dickinson on the outside, and EC3 seems to be staring down Flip Gordon. So this was another really fun match, I thought. It kind of had a house show feel to it in the sense that it was like an odd group of people kind of put together for one big match, kind of like you see on a house show. But that doesn't mean it's not a good match. I'm just saying it kind of had that feel to it. Nonstop action, really, with a few guys getting to showcase a lot and everyone at least getting a bit of time to do something. I don't think Bandido got a ton, maybe even Dragon Lee. He got a bit more, I guess. And I think Flip Gordon getting the win makes sense. He is the number one contender to Bandido right now, and he did just suffer a singles loss not long ago. So this sort of allows him to rebuild a bit and pick up a pinfall here. The match also, I thought, furthered stories between the Briscoes, Homicide, and Dickinson, as well as EC3 and Flip Gordon. After Flip Gordon loses to Bandido, I assume he'll go on to feud with EC3. I thought that was a pretty clever inclusion of sort of intensifying some storylines within this match. So I for me, this was a very satisfying TV main event. I really liked it. Pretty happy with this show, as you can probably tell overall. So I am pretty excited to get to my overall grade this week, because I thought this was an excellent episode of Ring of Honor. It absolutely flew by, which is almost always a good sign, right? Like, it just did not feel like a chore at all. It was a very, very fast hour of television. So the opener for me, again, the best match of the women's tournament so far. Holodead and Max the Impaler were given a good amount of time here. They did a lot with it, I thought. I think Max is contracted to ROH, and if so, I think they really have something intriguing. The only tough thing might be, like, when you have somebody who's that much of a monster and you build them to be that untouchable, finding ways for them to lose sometimes becomes a challenge. But for now, who cares? She just looks incredible. So I thought that was a really strong match to open this show. So some things are objectively bad, right? And some things are not just suited to your tastes. And I think the Matt Taven promo on this show was the latter for me, right? I'm sure many people probably liked it, and I think Taven probably did a good job in his role. I just, like I said before, I don't have a lot of interest in it, but I don't think it was bad. So it's not, the show's not losing many marks for that segment from me. The main event, again, really good multi-man tag match. Had no lulls in the action at all, really. There was a lot of grappling to start with Gresham and Woods, but if that doesn't bother you, and when the rest of the match is such a high pace, it really doesn't bother me. Everyone got a chance to look good, at least for a little while. In addition, it furthered a few stories along the way, as I said before. It gave Bandido's next challenger a pinfall to use as momentum, and I thought it was just a really good, fun-to-watch main event. So only two matches on the show, and I really like both of them, and then a promo sort of in between that wasn't for me, but wasn't bad. So when you list it that way, it sounds exactly to me like an A-minus show, right? I would recommend people check out both matches, but if you really only have time for one, I would especially recommend the women's match, simply because I feel like more people will be unfamiliar with Holodead and Max the Impaler, and I think people should probably check them out. But overall, I had a really good time watching the show this week. I'm thrilled to give any grade in the A range. I try to be fair and objective as much as I can, and I just thought this was a really entertaining episode of Ring of Honor this week. So that being said, I would like to transition briefly into talking about a pay-per-view I watched most of, but I'm only going to talk specifically about a few matches, and that was this past weekend's Triple Mania. So in the interest of full disclosure, I did watch the entire pay-per-view, but I was dividing my attention at certain points in that, so I thought I would just give some quick thoughts on the matches that I did really focus on during this show. A couple notes before I get into the matches. I did want to comment on how quiet I thought the crowd was. They may not have had full capacity for this show, but there were definitely people there. But they were not really a factor at all the entire night, which I thought was a little bit disappointing. Also, a quick note on the commentary. I found it incredibly obnoxious. Not because of the language barrier, that's my fault, not theirs. I mean, if I want to understand them, I need to learn Spanish for sure. But it was simply how much yelling is a part of their commentary. Not only is it loud, but their microphones frequently clip, I believe is what it's called. It's basically when your sound source gets too loud and the microphone or whatever, something along the chain of sound can't handle it, and you get like a little buzzing sound or something, or distortion. So there's a lot of that. So because of that, it sounds unpleasant to me overall. So I actually turned the volume down, not all the way, but just to a much lower level than I normally have to watch this show. I just found the a lot of yelling that I didn't really enjoy. So the first match, the opening match, was the Marvel Lucha Libre edition. So I'm going to go over the names. I may not pronounce them perfectly. I apologize. Leyenda Americana, Arachno, and Estrella Comica defeated Terror Purpura, Venenoide, and Picadura Letal. So I apologize again for those pronunciations. So this was craziness, this match. I'm not a Marvel fan at all. I apologize. That may cost us some listeners. To the point where I don't recognize some of these characters. It's somewhat ironic because my 14-year-old son that hosts a podcast with me on Saturdays is fairly recently obsessed with Marvel and has seen everything multiple times, and I just can't get into it. So I already started out a little bit behind with this match. Few things, like Spider-Man came in, which I heard later was one of the wrestlers who wrestled later in the night, Vikingo. So I think he did double duty, and maybe Brian Cage as well, I think. Anyways, he came in on a zip line hanging upside down somewhat awkwardly. It was a bit herky-jerky. I think it should have probably gone a little more smoothly, but as a guy myself, old enough to have watched Owen Hart fall to his death live, this entrance kind of made me a little bit nervous. It felt unnecessary, but no big deal, I guess. So I had no idea who anyone was in this or what was going on. I guess the action was fine, but nothing really blew me away. I find it kind of a confusing mess, but again, probably my fault. I don't know who the characters are, whether actual wrestlers or some of the Marvel characters. I also couldn't understand any of the commentary that was trying to explain it, so it might be my own fault, but I thought this was just a bit of a mess. I didn't really enjoy it too much. Then we get the Copa Bardal for Triple Mania 29. So it's basically a 12-person Royal Rumble with pinfalls as in eliminations as well over the top rope. The first person to enter brought a baby in a luchador mask, which I thought was interesting. But so again, apologize for the names. You've got Mr. Iguana, who ends up winning this thing, defeating Drago, Mamba, Miss Disease Jr., Carta Brava Jr., Aramis, Tito Santana, not that Tito Santana, Nino Ambergesa, who reminded me a bit of AC Romero from Impact, Macho Cota Jr., Pimpinella Escalata, Viano 3 Jr., and Argenis. If I'm being honest, I didn't really enjoy this much either. Again, mostly my fault, probably. I don't know many of the characters, and it's the crazy style they're working with so many people involved. It was a little bit overwhelming, so much stuff going on. I don't find many battle royals are good, to be honest. And I would say that this one could join that list probably. I guess the notable thing after the match with Mr. Iguana did win it, who carries around a stuffed iguana in his mouth for as much as he can, which is kind of interesting. So anyways, NGD, which is a faction who has just left CMLL, I understand, and is making sort of their debut in AAA here. So they attack Mr. Iguana. It's like three of them, I think, came out in suits. They beat down Mr. Iguana. A bunch of other people who I don't know come running out to try and stop this beatdown, and they get beat down as well. So this may in fact be a really cool invasion angle going forward. This, I think it's kind of a big deal, these guys showing up, but again, I don't fully grasp it or understand it. But I felt like their interaction was far too long. The whole them coming down and attacking Iguana and then the rest of the people fighting them off just took a really, really long time. But I mean, it might be a really big deal. Again, I don't know. And I'm hoping it's a cool angle going forward. It looks like sort of an invasion angle or new arrival at least. We then get the AAA Reina del Reinas Championship with and Impact Knockouts Championship. So that's Diana Perrazzo, who does end up defeating Fabi Apache with the, what is it, the DeMilo lock, where she basically rips off both of their arms until they give up. So I thought this was a pretty good match. It wasn't great. There were some cool sequences and some good wrestling, but part of what cost it some marks for me was the mega heel referee kind of took me out of it. Again, partly my own fault for not understanding the language. I don't know why he was helping Diana Perrazzo, but he was, like, counting quicker in certain cases and slower in others, and just blatantly at one point pulling Diana to the ropes to break a hold, which seems a bit much for me, but and again, with no explanation of why that's happening, it didn't really help me. So I liked the match, but I was honestly hoping for better. I do like that Diana has multiple belts right now because she is super cool. Sorry, I just need a sip of coffee here. Apologize. The next match I checked out was one that there was no way I was going to miss, and that was the AAA World Tag Team Championship match. Three teams involved here, the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Jr., and Phoenix, versus Hio del Vikingo, which is the guy I was looking forward to see, Laredo Kid, and a team of Black Taurus and Brian Cage. So the Lucha Brothers did end up winning this, and this was my match of the night. It was pretty much what you would expect from this group of guys. I love the Lucha Brothers, big fan of Brian Cage, Black Taurus, and Laredo Kid already. And like I said, I had heard great things about Vikingo, so I was really excited for this match. This match I would also qualify as crazy, like I said about the previous ones, but in the good kind of craziness. You're sort of expecting, with everybody flying around the ring and Brian Cage just violently throwing people around for parts of this. I saw some sort of DDT destroyer that I don't think I'd seen before, like a flipping DDT that looked pretty crazy. At one point, there was consecutive 450s to guys stacked on top of each other. I think Vikingo hit the 630 really well and a few other things as well. Obviously, this was pretty nuts. This match, for me, also benefited from being kind of straight up booking. There weren't run-ins, there weren't any major shenanigans, because there was a lot of things happening on other parts of the show, so I really appreciated that that was sort of left out of this match, and it was just kind of these guys working. I thought it was an excellent match, and this is the one match I would recommend to people to go and seek out if they didn't see this show. This was my match of the night. I had a feeling it would be coming in, and I mean, it probably could have been a tiny bit better, but my expectations were like off the charts, and it was pretty close to delivering. I thought it was an excellent match. So the only other match I watched, and actually my son watched it with me, but he's not here to talk about it, was the AAA Mega Championship. Kenny Omega, who ended up defeating Andrade El Idolo. So the big thing here was Ric Flair sort of made his debut with Andre El Idolo as his manager, and Kenny Omega brought Conan to ringside with him. So this, to be honest, my expectations probably hurt this too. This is pretty much a dream match for me. Andrade's one half of what I suggest is my favorite match ever. And Kenny Omega's amazing. He's the best bout machine for sure. So I thought this match was building like many great matches do, right? So I was kind of just expecting things were going to kick into another gear and we're going to get like 8 to 10 minutes of just nonstop action or something. But instead, we get the involvement of Ric Flair and Conan, and ends up with like a stereo figure four spot with Andrade and Flair putting figure fours on the opponents. I don't think it added much to the match. Kind of slowed the momentum for me. Like, it's Ric Flair, of course. They're going to bring him in if they can and if he's willing. So I get that. But I don't know. It kind of slowed things down for me. Still, the match was definitely good. I'm not sure that these two could ever have a bad match. But I, for one, was hoping and almost expecting, to be honest, to be blown away by this. And I wasn't. But it was still a good match. So I'm not going to give the show an official grade because I wasn't dialed in for a few of the matches. I was kind of doing other things simultaneously. But I will say I was kind of underwhelmed by what I did watch, and would really only highly recommend the three team tag match out of what I saw. But to be fair, again, I'm not familiar with the product. I don't understand Spanish, so that's probably my own fault. But I was kind of underwhelmed by what I saw. I was hoping to be blown away by some things, but what I saw was mostly good, just not amazing. So that, I think, is going to wrap up this sort of special edition of the show where I gave you a little bit of some AAA talk for the first time ever, along with my usual Ring of Honor. So that's going to wrap it up. There is a busy week of wrestling coming up, so we may do some sort of SmackDown and TakeOver preview show. We'll probably end up reviewing one or both of those as well, and then as well as coming back on Saturday for, I think, episode 57 is what we're up to. If you haven't listened to that, we talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, some trivia, some wrestling figure updates and things like that. So I'd love for you to check that out if you have the time. As well, I'd love to hear any feedback on anything you hear from us, fnswrestling@gmail.com or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. Or you can always leave comments in YouTube if that's where you're listening to us. But I think that's going to wrap it up for today. And I hope to see you back here at least on Saturday, if not before. And until then, take care.